Now at McDonald's, a McDouble is only $2.50. So you can get your gym gains on or just get lunch for only $2.50. Get more value on the under $3 menu.
Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. Prices may be higher for delivery.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
And a good Friday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Donick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Yep. We've got a loaded show as Willie's equipment burps right out of the gates. Burp. False start.
At least he didn't burp.
Donick, repeat first down. Terry McCormick coming up in about 15 minutes. We'll talk all things Titans. There is, unfortunately, yet again, more news on that front, so we'll get into that with Terry, TitanInsider.com. Jeff Burton, NASCAR on NBC, or is it NBC on NASCAR, or how about just NBC Sports with NASCAR? Jeff Burton, former driver. I don't know. I botched that.
I don't know what you were doing there.
I don't either. We'll talk to him, but he's really good. He's a good interview. He was a fantastic driver. We'll talk to him at 11 o'clock as they are at Talladega this weekend, and we'll get into all things NASCAR with Jeff Burton. Matt Muscana from down in Louisiana. We'll talk about this LSU team that's coming to town at 11:30. You just made the list. Peter Burns also in the third hour. Lee Sterling from Paramount Sports to get the final hour started. Then heading right into Pick 6. We are pumped. Going to be a good show. Great day outside. It's nice and sunny. It's going to be cool temps. It's going to feel like fall, guys.
And it is fall, so that's good. I mean, I love
this
weather right here.
I
mean,
it's good.
Been outside a lot this week. It is great to be outside. Enjoy it because this is the sweet spot, right, when you get that good fall weather. Get out there, be active, be healthy.
Do we have a soccer, speaking of fall, do we have a soccer update?
No games today. The Tigers went 2-0
this
week. So good, strong performance and building momentum. Still about a week and a half before postseason play starts, so trying to cram in as many games as they can get in. So 3-1 so far, a good restart.
They're kind of following MLB's lead. A little shorter season, get after it, and then get right to the playoffs.
Yeah, sort of. Or they're a little bit like the Big Ten. They didn't play early. They were like the Metro because the school, university school, is within Metro. A lot of the task force, same people on the same staff, so they were cautious. They didn't start until a lot later than some of the schools that they play against, so they've played less games, so trying to figure out how to seed people and all that stuff in the coming week or so. But it's all good. They're out there, so I'm excited about it. And we've drawn some great weather, so there's been some great afternoons sitting out and watching them play. That's what we hope for. And you know, keep your fingers crossed that everybody stays safe and stays distant and we execute the season.
No,
especially with postseason coming up, right, for all the fall sports, TSSAA.
Yep.
I know in some areas the numbers are really good. And then I was reading yesterday some of the rural areas where maybe it was a little later getting there. You know, they're dealing with some stuff there. So everybody out there listening, stay safe. Keep your guard up. Do everything you can, especially in light of what our biggest local story is and the biggest national story.
I've heard FRA has been practicing in Chase's backyard, so that is good. That's kind of like their version of the bubble, so that's cool.
Yep.
Well, it's an honor, Chase, if they feel like your area is a safe haven. That's good.
Listen, they're
that means you've been following all protocols and staying safe. That's good.
Well, I feel like I have, but their football field is nicer than my backyard, so I don't know if they'd want to downgrade.
Their football field's nicer than most backyards.
Their football field might be nicer than Nissan Stadium's field, if I'm being honest.
It is a pretty sweet layout at FRA, yeah. You know, overlooking on the hill there. That's a cool spot.
Yeah.
Spot to watch a game.
This is how you love this. So when I was there, we had all the, you know, the old buildings, and it was a grass field, and it was, I mean, it was a nice place, don't get me wrong, But the year after I graduate, they move into a new building. They get a new library. So all that stuff comes right after I graduate. And then a few years later, they redid the athletic complex. And now I think they've done the high school that I was in is completely different now. So, you know, that's what always seems to happen. Just the, everything. And it happened to me at MTSU. They opened up a bunch of new buildings after I left there, too.
Well, it's kind of like people that I've talked to, you know, that went to either they did or I guess maybe their kids went to, you know, Lipscomb. And when Glenn McAdams was the coach, and then you look at that campus now, which we know, we've been over there, we've done shows there, now that Trent Dilfer's there, it's a little bit different, Lipscomb Academy.
A little bit.
Just a little bit.
They've
same area, you know, same address, but just a little bit different, let's also do this. Let's, out of the gates, say a hearty congrats to Robbie Stanley and Joe Rexroad. They begin their new morning show, which will no longer be Morning Drive. It'll be Robbie and Rex Road starting Monday morning at 6 a.m. So they've done a really good job leading up to our show every day. They're good guys. They know what they're doing. They'll have a lot of fun. I think a lot of you have already enjoyed what they've been doing. And so it was nice to hear Ryan Porth get on there just in the last 15, 20 minutes or so and make it official that they will be our new morning show. So congrats to those guys. Of course, Marquise Munson will be their producer. So good job by those three. They'll do fantastic. They'll continue doing fantastic because they've been doing really good shows. It's just now official starting Monday.
You never know what the chemistry is going to be like when you put three people together, and they have been working on it. I think it's a big hit. Honestly, I really enjoy listening to their show. They have creativity. And if you are a sports fan, and I say this completely honestly, what I like about our show is we can speak all the languages, right? If you want to talk racing, baseball, basketball, maybe some of the ones that are not the mainstream sports we follow here, obviously hockey and football, we're on it. That show is on it too. They can speak all the languages. They have great insights. Joe Rexroad, to me, is now the premier sports writer, premier columnist in our city, and he's earned it. He hasn't lived here his whole life, but he is, in a very relatively short period of time, worked extremely hard to connect with all of the sports outlets, and he knows what's going on, right? So this, I think this is the station you want to be on every day. I really believe in, you know, our mantra is best sports talk. I believe in that fully with our lineup that we have.
Yeah, very excited for those guys. You know, Robbie especially, he's one of those guys that has been in the Preds locker room, you know, the same time that I have been. So we've gotten to know each other and on and off the court, as they say.
Another great story like yourself, Chase, of a kind of a homegrown, developed person who has earned his stripes as a host. You know, knows Nashville, knows the scene, specializes in hockey, but knows what's going on in all the sports. He's earned his spot as a morning show host.
He has, and he's worked hard for it. And, you know, Joe, too. I remember when Joe moved to Nashville and had the very hard task of taking over a column that was held by David Clymer for so long at the Tennessean, and did a fantastic job with it, put his stamp on it and became, you know, another voice here in the city. And he did it in a very short amount of time. Now, of course, with The Athletic, and has a radio background as well. So I think we have two tremendous additions to our team, and they've been here. I mean, it's just now we've made it official, but very well deserved, and excited to work with those guys even more and watch them grow. And then, you know, Marquise, what he's done as a producer since he's been with us the last almost 2 years, whether it's on this show or with the morning show, I know he's going to add a lot to that as well.
I've actually been working with Robbie for years on the Predators broadcast, so I'm not surprised at all. I mean, he's still very young, but I even saw many, many years ago when he was, I mean, really young, right out of, you know, I mean, he's early 20s, and I saw in him right away that there was something special about him. We had good chemistry doing Predators broadcast together. He would sit in there with me on road games, William, when you were away. Chase knows this, and sometimes late at night, and we would do bang out these post game shows. And you know, he got my attention very, very early on because I was like, this cat knows his stuff, and he's got a good delivery. You know, people don't realize that. You know, just a lot of times there's people in this business when it comes to radio, there is a thing called translation. To, you know, being able to translate to the public, and some do it better than others. And sometimes you can have a ton of knowledge and be really smart and have all these great things, but you lose the listener with your delivery. But he was very smooth and easygoing. He had a good, he translated well. Not everybody does that, but the ones that do, it catch my attention. Because I honestly, and these guys know it, I like a little bit more personality and a little bit more they translate good on radio. And not that I don't like facts. I certainly love facts and knowledge, but I tend to gravitate more to the other side. How does it translate? Of course, they have to bring it, and he's got it. I mean, he's got a wealth of hockey knowledge, and so I've appreciated getting to know Robbie over the years. And Joe Rexrode is just a pro's pro. And he's got a lot of knowledge. He's been around the block. He's been in different markets. He's been there, done it. He's established a lot of relationships with people. And, you know, you can reach out to him on Twitter and he'll respond. He's not too, you know, that's not beneath him. He'll actually respond to you on Twitter. We've had some, I remember there was a tough subject matter that was brought up that he was a part of that really ticked this show off involving Vanderbilt baseball, especially me. Probably should have ticked. I mean, I'm surprised it didn't tick off Willie more than me, but it really ticked me off, and I didn't appreciate it. We work hard, as Willie said, to try to cover all grounds on this show. We really do. And it was something, you know, about nobody pays attention to Vanderbilt baseball in this market. And I'll give credit to Joe because Joe was a part of it. And when we lashed out, Joe stood up and was willing to come on and talk about it. And I really appreciate it. And was able to, and was willing to do it off the air as well. And I really appreciated that. He didn't run from it. He didn't hide from it. You could have a conversation with him. And, you know, he was willing to talk about it. And he could understand why this show in particular was ticked about that notion that nobody cares about Vanderbilt baseball in this market and nobody talks about it, so what's the big deal? We took exception to that, and I remember him coming on the next day and talking about it, and I always appreciated that about him. So it's not beneath, like I said, he's a pro's pro. He's willing to talk through some tough things. They'll tackle tough subjects just like us. They're not going to run from it. So I think they're going to do a really, really good job, and so congratulations to them. Speaking of hockey, guys, did you see where the Stars have told Anton Khudobin they really, really want him back?
Yeah, I mean, I don't blame them.
The problem is, what's the price going to be?
Right. I mean, it's not just the Stars. I mean, we've talked about it here with the Predators. It's what every team is going to run into of, okay, flat cap. Probably going to be that for maybe a couple of years. You know, what you spend now is going to affect you next year. And oh, by the way, next year you're going to have to deal with an expansion draft. So there are a lot of different factors in play, but I don't blame them at all for wanting him back.
I mean, his play deserves it. It's a dilemma, though. Yeah, I mean, they're both older goalies, right? Ben Bishop and Khudobin. These are where the decisions get very difficult. Because for the Stars, they have so much money tied up in their top players. They have a pretty good wave of young players that are coming on the scene that eventually will need raises, and that's where the difficult decisions come in.
We'll come back. We'll talk with Terry McCormick. There have been two more positive tests, and now we know the Titans-Steelers game this weekend, Monday or Tuesday, is no more. It is not happening. It's getting moved. And now, with positive tests every single day, now you're starting to wonder, even though it's Friday the week before, I mean, it's what? What is that? 9 days away? 10 days away from the Bills game? Mm-hmm. Still starting to wonder, is this thing becoming, you know, something that's going to be in jeopardy starting on Monday? I don't know. I don't know what the storyline will be on Monday about that Bills game. Will it happen? Will it not? We'll talk about everything that's going on with the Titans this week. It has been a tough week for them. We'll talk with Terry McCormick next on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Joined now by Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. He's been covering the team since they've been in Nashville, and we've never had a story like this since they've been to Nashville. Terry, the positive tests keep piling on. It's been a tough week for the Tennessee Titans. And now you start to wonder, what does this mean for the Buffalo game? Is the Buffalo game 10 days out in jeopardy now?
Well, with two more positive tests being reported this morning, that brings the total up to seven players. I got to think that they are now starting to look at this Buffalo game as something that may not be a sure thing to happen a week from Sunday. It's a situation where, you know, quite honestly, I think NFL had a little bit too much of a bulletproof attitude in this and think it could happen to them, and they've kind of been caught now, and the Titans are the team that's kind of paying the price.
Well, what is going to be really interesting to follow and chart, is this contained to just the Titans, or is this going to spread, right? It is spread in college football. There's been postponements every week. But now you do wonder, while the Vikings have opened back up their facility, and so far, knock on wood, things have been good. But it doesn't mean that they're out of the woods just yet from that game back on Sunday. And it looks like they're going to play the Texans on Sunday in Houston.
Right.
And if there is all of a sudden some positive tests that come up, then you've got a whole new layer to the NFL schedule that right now has been contained to one matchup. But it could spread just like the virus. I don't think the Vikings are completely out of the woods yet. What do you think?
Well, they've been fortunate so far. They've not had any positive tests, and I think that's a good sign. But, you know, what happens if they come up with one the day before the game? If they have one tomorrow, what's the NFL
right.
going to do?
Yeah.
What happens if they go to Houston and then the positive tests come out, that, you know, two or three guys test positive on Monday after they get back from Houston? Then that's where the concern really starts to take place. And I think the NFL kind of dropped the ball here, because I think they had a lot of time to see how the NBA, NHL, and Major League Baseball handled this. And obviously their model is probably the most like the Major League Baseball, because there's no bubble. And I think when they saw what happened to the Marlins and the Cardinals this year, they probably should have exercised a little bit more caution and creativity as far as the schedule goes. They probably should have built in a second bye week to the schedule. You know, lost the week that is in between the conference championship games and the Super Bowl, and given themselves an extra bye week to try and work in games just in case. Because I do think that if this thing goes on with the Titans for a couple of more days and they're supposed to keep testing through Monday, you know, there's a chance that this Bills game may have to be moved as well.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to be. I think there's a real shot this thing becomes bigger than just moving bye weeks around, right? In other words, everything that's been planned in January and the 1st of February may get shifted to other dates. I mean, that may be a possibility. And another thing that we've been talking about on this show, you just brought it up. You know, there's a brand new, beautiful stadium in Las Vegas. There's a brand new beautiful stadium in Los Angeles. Those are two to name a few. Obviously, Dallas. You would have to have areas that could have lots of fields that could house these teams to practice. But how much conversation do you think, or do you think there's been any conversation this week talking about a bubble scenario for the NFC and the AFC come playoff time?
Well, that's a good question. And we saw baseball shift to that. You know, they're going to be playing in Arlington and in San Diego, and I think in L.A.
In L.A., yes.
And, you know, it's probably not a bad idea. I know that, you know, a lot of teams would not want to give up a home field advantage, which is what you fight a 16-game regular season to try to get in the playoffs. But, you know, there's not a lot of fans, maybe, and in some places not any fans in the stands anyway. So, you know, we've kind of seen home field advantage go by the wayside. The only thing that seems to count there is you're sleeping in your own bed as opposed to a hotel or whatever. And I think when you look at it from that perspective, a bubble for the postseason, maybe something they ought to explore.
Can I ask why, and I don't expect you to know the answer to this, but I'm just curious, and maybe you do. Why are they supposed to release the names of the players, but yet they don't have to on staff members?
That's a good question. I wish I knew the answer to that. It would be nice to know, you know, because, I mean, let's be honest here. It's quite a bit of difference. Like, we know that Shane Bowen has tested positive, and he's kind of the de facto defensive coordinator. It's a whole lot different animal to go into a game without your defensive coordinator because he's tested positive than it is to go in without somebody from the equipment staff or media relations, somebody that is essential to, you know, I'm not saying they're not essential, but they're not essential to the game on the field. So that is kind of interesting to me that they're not disclosing those types of things.
And I'm not clamoring one way or the other, Terry. I could care less, honestly, if they release the names. Sometimes I think it's unfair that, you know, the names get released. But, you know, I'm okay one way or the other, but I'm just curious why the divide. Why would you have, you know, one area, yes, release names, other area, you don't have to. Why not? I mean, if you're going to release one in this area, then why not in the other? I mean, I'm okay either way. I'm just surprised that it's okay for one side to, you know, it's okay for them to release players' names, not okay, they don't have to, for coaches or staff members.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that. I mean, I think part of the reason, I guess, that they have to release the names of the players is for the fact that it's a competitive advantage. Not that it wouldn't be a competitive advantage in my mind if your offensive coordinator wasn't available for you or your head coach wasn't available for you on game day. But if, for example, I'll give you the example of Bo Brinkley. You know that that if the Titans were playing this week and with Bo Brinkley out of the mix because he's their long snapper, you know that the Titans are going to be at a disadvantage on field goals and extra points and punt snaps. And with that, it affects, you know, it could affect the outcome of the game. So I guess that's why they reveal the players.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com. And Terry, you know, there's so many questions that, you know, as we gain experience covering football, you know, we've tried to learn about subjects we've never studied before. But I am curious. I guess it's been pretty widely reported now that the NFL and the NFLPA are going to come to Nashville, look into what has happened, where to go from here. If it's contained just to the Titans, what a huge dodging of what could have been a far worse situation. It looks like the Vikings game, as of now, is good to go, no tests. But this could be the wake-up call that the league needs to try to go into, you know, the play-by-play of how it got to this point, right? Because this has been an eye-opening experience for a lot of us.
Sure, absolutely. I think, you know, anything that they can find as far as where something might have fallen through the cracks and where this thing might have gotten started, I think is good and useful information that they can use maybe to keep the next event from happening this way. And I think, you know, there's so much about this virus that, you know, is still just completely unknown and still completely, you know, mysterious in terms of it. I mean, for crying out loud, the president tested positive this morning. So, you know, that's kind of where we are with this and how this thing works. And sometimes no matter how much care and how much due diligence that you may do, you know, sometimes it's inevitable. And I think that, you know, the Titans were unfortunate that it's them. But if something can be learned by the league and something can be learned from the Players Association and the teams about how to, you know, about how this might have happened, about how to keep spreading further, then that's obviously a good thing.
I agree with you 100% that there are still things that we don't know. There also are a lot of things that we've learned from the start of this. And I think that's where the NFL, and I'm putting it on the NFL, not the Titans, because I do think you can be doing everything you're supposed to be doing and still have this happen. So I agree with Mike Vrabel that there's no one to blame. But I do think it's important to disclose and try to find out exactly what steps were taken, because I trust Mike Vrabel when he says, we followed the protocols. These are the NFL's protocols, right? These are not the Titans making choices. They went with what the league has laid out, and this happened. So, for example, of you know, when they learned of the positive test on Saturday, I think it's just a fair thing for discussion, not to lay blame or anything like that, as to is that what needs going forward to be looked at, as to if that situation comes up again, rather than get on the plane, travel, and play. Is that it? Could this have been avoided to some degree if they had taken strong measures right there within the protocols? Because once again, they were within their rights to go forward within the NFL's protocol and go play the game.
No, you make a very valid point, and that's something that they're going to have to weigh in the future. Because you know, there was the positive test with Shane Bowen, the outside linebackers coach and de facto defensive coordinator, on Saturday. So they made the right call in not taking him on the trip with them. But what they didn't know at the time was that all these other players apparently were infected with the virus, and they went ahead and played the game. And as we said, they were extremely lucky that thus far it hasn't spread to the Vikings. And it makes you wonder that the next time a team has somebody within their facility test positive, will they stop that team from going on the road and going ahead and making a road trip and possibly, you know, risking, even if they don't know whether other people are infected, if it's just one isolated person or if it's spread to the team? And I think that is the conundrum that they're facing here, is because, you know, the positive test, the symptoms and all, don't show up at the same time in everybody. You know, it's two or three a day here, two or three a day there, and pretty soon it's run its course through multiple people, and you wonder just, you know, what is the right course to take? You know, and you don't want to have to go and shut everything down and not make a trip, but in some cases that may be what you're forced to do.
We're talking to Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com, about all things going on with this team right now. So it's a general question, Terry, and I don't know where you want to take it, but in 3 years that Mike Vrabel's been the head coach, and granted, this is a very unique situation and a different year for everybody, but when there is something that is tough or uncomfortable that he has to address, how do you think he's handled it overall?
I don't think he could have done a whole lot better than he's done, and I asked him this yesterday, where does that resolve come from in terms of being able to deal with distractions? You think about it, the very first game he was the head coach, there were the two lightning delays in Miami that forced that game to go about 6 or 7 hours. There was the whole Rashard Matthews quitting in the middle of the season, just up and leaving the team, walking out. They managed to overcome that. There was the Kevin Dodd situation, and now the most serious thing that they face now is the COVID matter. So, to me, Vrabel has this knack for being able to deal with dire circumstances and not lose his cool, not lose his head in terms of trying to formulate a plan and deciding where and when the organization goes from there. And he said he learned a lot of that from his parents, who were both teachers and administrators in education, and he said that he learned a lot of it from Bill Belichick, quite frankly, seeing how he dealt with things in 8 years as a player with the Patriots. So, to me, Mike Vrabel is a guy that seems to be the right guy for this situation, and, you know, you don't want to go through this, but Vrabel does seem to be able to wade through the muck, so to speak.
Yeah, and you know, another part of that, when you're just kind of looking at leadership, one of the off-season storylines was all the guys that were leaving and weren't going to be in that locker room anymore. How do you replace them simply from the voices in the locker room, the leaders in the locker room? this is one of those situations where you need those guys. And I know it's different for you because you don't have, you know, you're not able to go in the locker room like usual, but how do you think that some of these guys, like a Kevin Byard, for instance, have handled this situation from a leadership standpoint?
I think they're doing pretty good. I think you're starting to see some leaders emerge. I think Byard, as you mentioned, is one of the leaders of this team. I think Ryan Tannehill has emerged as one of the leaders of this team. Derrick Henry, I think, maybe while he's not the most vocal guy around, I think a lot of people take their cue from Derrick Henry on this team. I think, you know, you look at what all they lost, and guys like Jarrell Casey and Delaney Walker and Wesley Woodyard, that's a lot of experience that walked out the door. But they're not the first team to have lost veteran leadership because guys got old and guys were no longer productive. And I think what you have to see is that transfer of power. You want to see your veteran leaders take the young guys under their wing and let them learn. And now it's time for guys like Byard and Henry and Tannehill and, you know, and on down the list to start taking their cue and leading this team. And I think that those guys all, though, take their cue from Vrabel. And I think that they're all bought into what he's selling right now.
I know we don't know a timetable for these guys that are going on the COVID list of when they'll be available, if some of them would be able to play next week or if they'll be without them for a few weeks. But the guys that have been out with injury, whether it's A.J. Brown or Adoree Jackson, I guess the silver lining in all this is now they have a few more weeks to get healthy and get back. Do you think that maybe we're close to seeing some of those guys on the field?
I think they're getting closer, yeah. I'm not sure, you know, from, you know, they're not saying a whole lot about it, but I'm not sure Taylor Lewan would have been able to play this week had they went ahead and been able to play the Steelers. I'm not sure that A.J. Brown or Adoree Jackson would have been available. So in that regard, by pushing it to week 7, which is the presumption of what's going to happen, they should be in better shape to face the Steelers. Now, will they be able to play against Buffalo? At this point, who knows? But I think that there is a chance that some of those guys can get back and make this a healthier roster, at least from an injury standpoint, once they do return. I think, you know, to me, the big thing with, you know, about this is one of the things that, you know, might be a silver lining in this, and I look at the baseball situation. You know, I don't think anybody expected the Florida Marlins, even in an expanded year, to be a playoff team. I don't think a lot of people kind of wrote off the St. Louis Cardinals because of them missing 2 weeks. So it's potentially this has the potential, once they get through the other side of it, to kind of be a galvanizing thing for the team to say, hey, we made it through this. Let's go take care of business. Because you see the Marlins and the Cardinals are still alive in the postseason after a lot of people had kind of written them off when they went into the COVID protocol, thinking that they would never be able to recover from it and finish out the season in the fashion that they did.
Congratulations on the Yankees. Terry, thanks for joining us.
Darren. I heard that.
I really meant that. So congrats.
I know you did.
I'm really happy for you.
I want to thank you because the Indians bullpen was crummier than the Yankees bullpen.
I can't believe we made it this far before Terry decided. I mean, he had to be waiting that entire 20 minutes to get that zinger in there.
No doubt.
I'd have taken the shot earlier, Terry, if I were you.
I'm not really happy.
Of course,
for
my
you,
team's not in it, so
I owed a congrats to
you. Hey, I'm the last one standing on the show.
Yeah.
It's like teasing when you have the fish on the hook. You know, you can't just
reel
it in fast.
Right. You got to savor the moment.
Terry, thanks for doing this. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.
Terry McCormick, TitanInsider.com is where you can find his work. We will come back and wrap up the first hour. Already been an action-packed hour here on Darren Donica Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. This week's NFL Game of the Week, right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, is going to be New England and Kansas City. That coverage will start at 3 p.m. on Sunday. Patriots and Chiefs. 3 o'clock Sunday. Our NFL Game of the Week is brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. All right, let's go through the daily tallies. So this has been happening every day, right, since Tuesday. So Tuesday was the three players we found out. The three players were Bo Brinkley, the long snapper, Daquan Jones, who we had a great talk with last week leading up to their game against Minnesota, and then a tight end on the practice squad. Then the next day was Wednesday was what? Kamaue Corea,
yep,
right, the linebacker. Then the next day, yesterday, we found out. By the way, we would always find out about 2 hours after our show.
Of course.
It was Christian Fulton.
Mm-hmm.
And now we've learned there's two more players.
Yep.
That we'll find out this afternoon about 2 hours after our show.
Which the Titans have not confirmed yet, right? The Titans have not sent out an official statement yet acknowledging more positive tests.
Well, have they done that before?
Yes.
Yeah.
They've sent out a statement each morning.
Yeah, and they've also had press conferences each day, and I don't believe they have one scheduled today. I don't see one for today. Yeah. So they've been – we haven't gotten the names until they actually make the roster move, but they have been forthcoming with that info up until today. Today is
Because I don't know what emails you guys are – because I get the same stuff. What email they come out and said, that report is true. We'll give you the name later on.
Well, I've seen
– they just released a statement acknowledging that there's additional positive tests. And they just haven't – that routine has been changed today.
A lot of it's
I don't know what
Twitter.
That means or doesn't mean. It's just been reported. It's been reported by the media. I saw Teresa Walker reported that she's got a story on the Associated Press with the two – With the news, and there's been many people that have reported the same thing. So I'm not questioning that. It's just interesting that the Titans have not come out officially to acknowledge that as of yet.
Well, I'm saying through an email that they send out to the press. There has not been, to my knowledge, a daily email saying, yes, those reports are true. We'll have a name for you later today.
They've issued a statement each of the last 2 days, not today, but yesterday and the day before.
Via email?
Via however they release statements. Yeah, email being one of them.
Yeah, I've gotten most things from Twitter, but I know I have.
Okay, so Twitter's different. Okay, so you're what, through their Twitter? Okay.
Right. Yeah, but I mean,
I've gotten emails.
Yeah, I've gotten some emails. I have to pull them up, but.
I'd like to hear what it says, Willie. If you have them, I would like for you to read it because I don't know what you're talking about. I have not seen an email that has communicated, "Hey, there's been those reports are true, and we'll release the COVID-19 positive test names later."
No, they don't. They don't say we're going to release the names later. They have acknowledged.
So yesterday at 8:35 a.m., Titans head coach Mike Vrabel will be available in his previously communicated media session at 11. NFL statement on Titans-Steelers game, so they have that in there that we read yesterday. A Titans player and one personnel member tested positive for COVID-19 today. An announcement of the new game date will be made shortly. So that was a part of an email that was sent out.
Very similar to the day before.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
So you're right. So I guess today, with there being no press conference, I would. What do you take from that?
Well, I don't know. What's also been reported is that the league, and the league players' association, is coming to town to. I don't know if I would say it's an investigation, but they're going to sort out what happened and where to go from here. I guess is what's been reported by many. I saw Teron had that as well as some league. Followers, league reporters. So I still think there's a chance that tomorrow you could have more added to the list, and that's what you fear. This is something that is, I think, we all had to be reminded of. I knew that this was possible, but I think we all still are in our minds believing that if everybody tests negative and one person tests positive, everybody else is okay except for that one person. But you don't really know that to be true until several days afterwards if everybody's been together, which is why you do the contact tracing. I always want to say contract. I don't know what's going on. But
Well, you can do that.
So let's hope that this comes to a halt, you know, and there's no further. I mean, maybe there's another one or two. I don't know. But in terms of the Buffalo game, right, in terms of the Buffalo game, we still may not know until Monday. But once that period has come and gone, I think you can say the Buffalo game is still not a given by any stretch. But if they do play, it's going to be a depleted roster, right? None of those guys are going to be able to play. And then long term, you know, if those that are feeling symptoms, how long will it take them to really feel up to speed to play? That's a major question.
Right. And I should point this out because Ty texted us on our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. At one time, the players were all asymptomatic. Is that still the case? No, Mike Vrabel has said he wouldn't be specific, but he has said that some of the people that test positive have had flu-like symptoms. So
yeah, that was not a correct report. I don't remember who put that out there, but yeah.
You know, and we've had a little bit of a mentality.
Was that Palacero? I don't remember. I think it was
Tom. I think it was Graziano. I think it was Graziano that put that out there. But we have seen a mentality, and you tell me if you disagree, by some college coaches over the summer when you would just get a report like, we have 20 cases on a college campus. Everybody's asymptomatic. Everybody's okay. But we had to shut down practice. These players are in quarantine. They're out for a while. You know, we're trying to get through this. There's sort of an assumption. I don't know if I would say assumption, but a general sense of you take your those guys take their turn, they'll be back, everybody's fine, and then hopefully they don't get it again. Ed Orgeron said it publicly, right? He didn't make any secret about it. He said most of our guys have had it, everybody's okay, and hopefully they won't get it again during the season, and let's go play. But it is true that there's a lot of ways it affects different people, and there are going to be some players that don't quite bounce back. You know, some will be asymptomatic and are just waiting for the green light, but maybe some others are feeling that flu-like symptoms, and how quick can they get back to 100%? That's a big part of the story.
How would you guys answer what I asked Terry? Has anybody else thought that? Like, why do the players' names get released, but nobody else's name has to be released when it comes to a staff member, whether it's a coach or, you know, trainer, what have you?
Yeah, I've thought about that, and I think that the reason is because I don't know this, but I guess there is a coaches association, but it's different from what the PA does, and the PA simply, you know, for competitive advantage, and let's be honest, gambling has something to do with this too. It's just like the injury report, and the reason that they issue an injury report every day. That the PA and the league agreed, okay, you have to release the names of players because they're not going to be available to play, and that can change things for the game. The coaches, I guess, it's not viewed that way, and I don't know if their association, you know, said, nah, we don't want the names released. It doesn't matter. It doesn't necessarily change.
How does a coordinator not being at a game?
Well,
not an advantage,
right? And I'm not saying that I agree with that.
I know, but that's the counter to them is. Well, how do you think that Shane Bowen, if we would have known that, you're telling me that's not a competitive advantage?
Yeah, because I think it made a difference.
Yes.
I think it totally made a difference on Sunday because that defense looked out of sorts, especially in the first half. Now, they got it going towards the end of the game and got it done, but you could definitely tell he was missing.
Well, that's another question that I think has to be addressed by the league is – from a competitive advantage, I can see why the Titans didn't want the Vikings to know that Shane Bowen wasn't there, right? You could make the argument, hey, let's keep it under wraps so the Vikings don't know that we don't have one of our coaches. I don't know what the Vikings would do, but you know, it's interesting that CBS was not made aware of that, right? But also you could say, hey, if health and safety is a big priority, then the Vikings should have been made aware that the Titans had a positive test on Saturday, right? Regardless of who it was. Don't you think? I mean, the Vikings have got to be sitting there going, whew, we're lucky none of our guys got it, right? That could have been the case. They certainly dodged the bullet there, right?
Well, do you think, do we know for sure they didn't know?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing I would love to know is did they know or did they not know?
I feel like that they would have to. I mean, don't you?
I would hope so.
I don't know.
Why would the Vikings know and CBS wouldn't know?
The reason that's exactly right. That's why I'm confused. Like, how can you would think, but the fact that the network didn't know and the public didn't know, nobody knew, like that would have been a storyline, as we talked about this week. That would have been a storyline on all the national pregame shows. Well, all pregame shows, radio, local, you know, everything. It would have been on our pregame show. I mean, it would have been everywhere. If they weren't willing to release it to anybody, to the public, to the networks, I don't know. Did they tell Minnesota? I don't know.
Apparently, according to Vrabel, the league must have known because he said the league protocols. So how would the league know, but the Vikings didn't know?
Well, the
CBS
test has
didn't
to
know.
Come from the league, Willie. So of course the league knows,
right? But that's kept private, I guess.
Right. That doesn't mean
I see that.
So wouldn't the league turn around
case,
and tell? Wouldn't the league then turn around and
tell the broadcast partners who paid billions
the Vikings.
Of dollars?
And tell the Vikings.
And tell the Vikings.
Well,
right.
Okay. So I'm not as concerned about CBS knowing. I understand where you're coming from.
Hold on. Somebody gives you $1 billion, you ought to be concerned if that's about that relationship.
I understand that. But they're also the media. And that's something that the league wasn't ready to get out. Now, the Vikings, heck yeah, they should have told the Vikings. And I hope they did. The Vikings should have been aware because they have a say in that. Because I think if they did know, they could have easily said, oh, I don't know. Maybe we don't need to play this.
There's a member of the team staff that tested positive on Saturday. Everybody else is negative, so we're going to go ahead with the game. Maybe that's all they needed to tell the Vikings. Didn't have to specify who on the staff, because that could be anybody, right?
I know, but
it's not a player. He's not traveling.
Why would you not?
Right, but for CBS,
I mean, if it's a player, you would be telling them.
Sure. We don't know if they didn't tell them.
Maybe that's all the protocols stated. I don't know what they did or didn't do, but this is why we go back to the Chris Mortensen transparency. This is because it's been contained to one team, it appears, as we sit here today, right? And this is a rough go for the Titans here. We don't know how they're going to come out of this. Remember, the Marlins and the Cardinals survived this and are still playing, right? They're still alive in the playoffs. They're both playing today. So you can get through it, but this is going to be a tough journey. But if it's confined to one team, this is the learning experience. This has to be the wake-up call for the league. What can we learn from this? Where can we help ourselves going forward because this has happened? You learn from experience.
I would just like to know what really happened.
Right.
You know, that's what I would like
and it's
to
not,
like
It's
to
not
know.
To lay blame or anything. It's
no,
this,
I
this
just,
is we're all learning as we go here,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, but I just want to know the process and all of it. And if the Vikings didn't know, I put that on the league. I don't necessarily put that on the Titans because the league is controlling all of this. It's the league's job to make sure that the people that need to know. And I think the Vikings
I'm not putting any
know.
Of this really on the Titans. I'm putting how could the league not inform the broadcast partners who pay billions of dollars? Like, this league is basically the reason it is so incredibly healthy is because of those TV contracts. It's better than any other league, and it's not even close. That's why it's so incredibly healthy. The fact that you wouldn't tell, you just think about the line of business.
You don't want that out there. You don't want that news out that you don't want them coming on.
Well, it's going to get out there, so why would you not tell them first? They don't want to hear it afterwards. They don't want to hear it after the game's done the next day. If it's going to get out there, why would you keep it from them? That's a pretty important business relationship.
I understand that, Darren. But if during the game, if Andrew Catalan comes on and says, well, we got word this morning that Titans assistant Shane Bowen tested positive for COVID-19, he's not here. That's now the story during the game. They're going to be talking about, well, are you any of these guys affected that they're hitting each other during this game? Should the Vikings be concerned? They're not talking about the game at that point. And number one, we also don't know if the league may have told them and said, hey, please don't broadcast it. You're making you guys aware of what's going on.
I think that's hard to believe.
Incredibly hard to believe.
I do wonder, too, when were the Titans going to disclose that? They you could argue they planned on never disclosing it. It didn't break until A to Z Sports and Paul Kuharsky put it out there, right? Jointly, I guess, right before the press conference. So were they ever going to say it?
Well, I don't know. But again, that's on the Titans, but it's also on the league because the Titans are following what the league tells them to do.
Right. So, if you believe if Mike Vrabel is saying they have absolutely followed the hundreds of protocols by the letter of the law, then this is all on the league, if that is true. And I have no reason to suspect it's not true, that they're not following protocol. I'm just saying I think the system is botched. They need to rethink how they do this because I don't think that they're doing a service to a lot of people. Like if the Vikings didn't know, if the networks didn't know, like that is a huge disservice, and that is not how you should be handling this. You can't keep it quiet. This is the whole point. This is why we're talking about it. It's going to get out. You're already releasing names, so you can't talk about it on Monday afternoon.
Well, this is, I think, these are all questions. We're asking questions, and we've been, frankly, asking questions all week about this as we try to learn. But the league and the Players Association, importantly, too, have got to be asking these same questions when they're here today. Again, not in an accusatory way, but let's look at the protocols, let's ask questions, and let's come up with the most we can learn from this experience and feel very fortunate that it is contained to one team. And let's also hope that nobody has any long-range issues who tested positive in the aftermath of what happened from whenever this started to where we are today. Because the players who have been on the plane to and from Minnesota, you know, if I'm the Players Association, I'm looking out for the safety and well-being of the players. I need to know what went on, right? We need to learn from this.
We'll come back, Jeff Burton, to start the second hour of Darren Donick and Chase. That's next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.